Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
I hit the road tomorrow.
Oh, going west. Highway 69. 65?
66?
Route 66.
Route 66.
Yeah.
Route 66. Going west like the pilgrims did once in a, you know, long time ago. Not my ancestors. My ancestors were in Europe. Sorry, everyone. Until, honestly, just a generation ago. So
you think you're better than us?
No, you weren't here either. We're fine. We have no crimes to pay for.
That you didn't get on a horse and buggy during the Dust Bowl? You think you're better?
The Dust Bowl seemed like it sucked, honestly, from the photos I've seen. From the pics I've seen. How are you? God's testing you?
God is testing me. God is testing me. I think this is punishment for saying I'm having such a good time by myself. I truly spoke too soon. So many little things that I usually wouldn't deal with. And in fact, like Chris doesn't even deal with, have cropped up. I came home with a friend to watch the Oscars and the cats were playing with a live mouse, full like Tom and Jerry style. Like my friend was like, I didn't know this, like, actually happened. Like that mouse looks like Stuart Little, and I was like, I know. Like, and they played with it for 48 hours before it eventually died mysteriously. I can deal with a lot of things, but corpses is really not my forte. I don't like a corpse. But that's not all. The power has now gone out multiple times. I thought it was fixed. It went out again last night, which means things like charging my phone to set alarms becomes difficult. Making a coffee requires like moving the coffee machine into the one plug in the back room. Not to mention how many fucking jars I've had to open. There have been more jars in my life in this past 2 days than I think actually like through the span of my adulthood. Really, like 17 different unscrewable things I have to be unscrewing and rescrewing. It's just,
oh my God. Those
it's been
really
a journey.
Are all tests. Just jar after jar after jar.
Say, what do you got for me next, baby? Bring it on.
What are you eating in jars? I would assume like pasta sauce.
Okay, this is partly my own foot. Yeah, pasta sauce was one. Jam was another.
Of course.
But I bought this little contraption. I can't recommend it enough. I love it. Our blender broke like a few months ago. And I was like, you know what? I can't live like this. I'm going to buy like a new smoothie maker. I got this tiny one, dude. We'll link it. We'll link it on our Amazon storefront when we eventually set that up.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's just a mason jar that you plug into, like you screw onto a little blade and then put in this very cool vintage blender type contraption. I'm obsessed with it. However, because it is a mason jar, I'm constantly overthinking the screwing process. So I'm screwing it on way too tight. I'm blending it. I'm pulling it out. And then I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. Like
can't
literally
be done.
Like, like towels. Like I'm like, how the fuck? Like me. And that has now happened 3 times and I don't learn my lesson. So it is now, yeah, it's many different unscrewable jars or devices that I keep coming up against. And at times like these, I'm really grateful for weight training. We've said it once. We'll say it again.
I know.
It's so practical.
It's really practical.
Actually, not to jump the gun here, jump the shark, but this really leads well into my inspiration.
Oh, speak it out. What is it? Tell me your inspiration.
It's walking down the street, Sunset Boulevard, lots of cars and lots of unhoused people. And one particular unhoused woman was on a tirade. She was really mid-tantrum and saw one of those, you know, those metal like rubbish bins, those metal like trash cans.
Yeah.
Huge, enormous. They're like literally like 5'5", taller than Kim Kardashian. She like in a rage just like pushed it over. I don't know how because they're heavy and flipped it onto the street. Now this is in the middle of Sunset Boulevard,
at rush hour. Like, cars are just like racing. And there were three people sitting at the light, me and two guys. And obviously the impulse, I think especially if you live in a big city and you're used to seeing like unhoused people or kind of chaos. Los Angeles specifically is like a third world country in a city, like such intense wealth disparity. You kind of get used to seeing it and you don't really know how to react. So you learn to just compartmentalize and just move on. Like, it almost like doesn't hit your brain and register. So this guy, we all kind of looked at each other and this guy went over to pull it off the road. Like, a car could have literally hit it, spun out of control, 10 car pileup, no problem. And he went over to lift it and he couldn't lift it. He could not lift it. And I was like,
step
this
aside.
Is my time to shine.
Step aside, Papa.
One-handed, I pull it up with his help. It wasn't just me. Two of us together. And we put it back in its place. And we just look at each other like, job well done.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And it reminds me, and again, I mean, we talk about body image a lot on this podcast. And oftentimes I'm like, damn, my arms are like too big. I've like lifted too heavy, like they're too big. Like, I need to reevaluate, whatever. And just seeing like strength in such a practical sense like that,
yes,
is really fulfilling. There is a use for this beyond aesthetics, right? Which is what we're so focused on. You know, should I really pare back and get into a Pilates princess type of era? And then I'm like, no, that being strong is so sick.
Yeah. Deeply empowering. Also empowering the Good Samaritan effect, I think. I more and more, I'm having a harder and harder time being a bystander and doing nothing, like just cruising on by. I feel like I'm constantly doing this where, and I feel like you would also step in at this point just because this is kind of who we are. But when I'm seeing a couple in a fight that's looking like not chill, like a woman kind of pressed against a wall and a man, I am... Yeah. Eyes with her. Hi, are you okay? Is everything okay? Do you want to come with me? Are you all good?
I've never done that. Because I've been in that relationship. I would have died if someone had said that to me, because then you're acknowledging that there's a real issue. It's such a tough one, because then I walk away and I'm literally kicking myself. And there's so many things like that that happen on the streets of LA.
Oh, yeah.
You walk away and you're like, oh my God, if I had just done, like if I had just intercepted. Do you believe in Kantian ethics?
I'm getting him mixed up. It's so devastating because I took a class on Kantian ethics, but in high school. That was a very long time ago.
Oh my God, that's so developed for a high school. That's so advanced.
Well, it was a college. So I found out that as a high schooler, I could take as many college classes as I wanted for free, like completely for free. And so I've signed up for a bunch of philosophy classes.
You're like, if I'm going to get it for free, I'm going to get something completely useless.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm not going to sign up for a college math class. I'm not insane. And also, that's useless to me. I'm going to learn about ethics. But no, speak it out, because it's not – thoughts coming to mind on Kantian ethics.
No, the concept is, if you feel good about something you do, it's not a good deed that you've done.
Technically,
like if I was to lift the trash can off the road and then I walk away with a little spring in my step, like, it undoes all the good that you just did because you were doing it to feel good. So technically you can do things that you don't feel good doing that are good, and that is the only way to be good.
I feel like where I apply this, yeah. Oh, it makes perfect sense. I feel like where I apply this into my life in a real way is that I try a lot to do good things but tell no one. Where it's like,
you are so secretive about pretty much everything though. Like, you don't want to tell anyone what you're working on. You want to tell anyone. You're just like, I'll do the splits in the dark until I'm touching the ground.
I'm not yet touching the ground, though.
I've
hit a wall. I've hit a wall. I can't get past like that last 2 inches.
Wait,
I don't know what to do.
Why do you think?
I'm just like, I feel like also it contributes that I'm often sore from lifting. So
yeah.
When you're sore, I feel like you're less flexible unless you like really work at it. So I think that it's like I make progress, I lose that progress because I stop for a couple of days because I'm like too sore to drop down into the splits. But something needs to give. I have to do them.
No, lifting is the biggest thing that like makes me not want to do them, because you are so tight and you have to invest so much more. Like, lifting already takes a long time, and then you have to take an extra 10 minutes at the end to fucking
to stretch out
it out.
I know. Oh, it's like, who's got the time?
And you know, it's like the only thing that prevents injury and like longevity. It's like literally the magic sauce. It's like when they tell you to drink water and you're like, I've heard about this. I know.
Don't
do it.
Shut up.
Speaking of, I just got electrolytes, blue raspberry flavored.
That's my favorite motherfucking flavor. No, I love blue raspberry. Anything. My deathbed, I want blue raspberry everywhere.
It's so artificial that you're like, this is not right. Something's someone's cooked here.
Hasn't come from the earth per se.
Yeah, give me a fake orange any day, but a blue raspberry.
I do love flavors that don't exist in nature, because like a blue raspberry, obviously, we couldn't eat one if we wanted to.
Yeah, where? I've never seen one in my life. Who came up with that? Willy Wonka?
I don't know. We actually need to find them. That's a story there. Who came up with blue raspberry?
Okay, so tell me what's inspiring you.
Well, the blue raspberry kind of feeds in, because what's inspiring me is staring down the barrel of the road and getting very, very excited about gas station food.
Okay, the Americana culture that you're about to live, it's like there's nothing like it when you're on the open road.
I'm going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska tomorrow. I'm going to be on the open road.
It's so hot. Are you familiar with Jack Reacher?
Yes, I am.
Reacher heads, rise up. You know who you are. Yeah. It is just the sexiest thing to have a toothbrush and a credit card in your pocket. Nothing else. You buy your clothes, very unsustainable, and throw out the old ones. And then you get on a bus and you get the hell out of Dodge. Like, there's just nothing cooler than that.
I agree. I agree completely. And I love walking out of a gas station and to the car. This is where I feel most like I am the star of my show, my own show, is when I'm walking out of a gas station with a bunch of things in my hand. I always refuse the bag because I think I like the drama of stepping out and I have a bag of Bugles and Gatorade and like two Red Bulls and it's all chaos. Gonna absolutely like clog my stomach, but it's gonna feel amazing to crack it, feet on the dashboard, so that if we get into a crash, my leg goes into itself like a push pop.
I just rewatched Crossroads, and talk about canon cinema. I mean, this always feeds back into my biggest gripe, my like fist in the air, why I order, but Anyone But You and Crossroads next to each other. Crossroads is literally Schindler's List. Like, Crossroads is Citizen Kane. It is such a flawless, perfect film in every way. The premise of just hitting the open road, no looking back, going west until you reach the ocean. You are Brittany.
I feel like it. And it's helpful, actually, because I feel like a flight, sometimes you can't shake what you've experienced at location one when you're headed back home. But the drive, it's like I'm leaving the past behind me, literally. As the stripes pass, I move on.
The cool thing about the States, too, is when you do enter a new state, you get a sign. Like, you actually feel like you're making progress.
I love the little signs. And they're all so cute. Every state with its own little motto of, like, sunshine lives here. I'm like, yeah. Oh my God.
You're like, great copy. Who wrote that?
Yeah, who wrote that?
I know. Our forebears.
Another story. The original copywriters.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't have a tie-in. I don't have a tie-in here. We just have to start. I'm like trying to think like open road, copy. I don't have anything.
We could not be further from our subject today. I mean, last week was so perfect. Us being like, I'm letting go of being like that girl. But speaking of that girl, Zendaya, helping homeless people, being strong. There's not a lot of tie-in there.
You know what, actually? The reason that there is no tie-in is because the person we're talking about today does not really exist on this plane. She is one of the richest women in the world. She has been famous since she was a child. Yep. And there are videos of her and her mother at a grocery store unsure of how to use the card reader because they don't do their grocery shopping. She does not exist on the plane. I would never run into her buying Bugles. It's just not something that would happen.
But she would use Bugles as a prop in a photo shoot where she's of course playing the everyman.
Of course.
So
of course.
Maybe this does tie in. Maybe you're in a cosplay era, we're all cosplaying somehow, and so is she. The one, the only.
Yeah. Kylie Jenner. It's so interesting. It's so interesting. So this profile.
Whenever you kick off with it's so interesting.
It's so interesting.
I have no idea where you're going. You're a high school philosophy student.
I know. I'm like, I feel that Kant would not be a Kylie stan.
not spending thousands on Kylie lip kits.
No, no, no. No lip liner here. This is a very recent profile. This came out days ago. And I do have to address the fact that even since this profile has come out, which this profile comes out, the peg here is that she's just released a fragrance and she's released a spiked seltzer, like everyone and their mother. But as of today, as of hours ago, she also got announced as the face of Sam Edelman's 20th anniversary campaign.
What?
And this woman just does not sleep. She is up and at him. She attended the Oscar or Vanity Fair after party, of course. It's just constant, constant. And as I was doing my research, I have a little timeline that I've rendered here that I think would be useful for the audience to know, because I grew up with the Kardashians. I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians since season one and was very invested. So I've seen Kylie grow up. I've seen Kendall grow up. You know, these are my peers in many ways. Actually, not at all in any way.
Well, they are literally your peers. They are exactly the same age, no?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's so true. And I didn't, until I put all of these facts together, realize sort of Kylie's trajectory. And when I did, it sort of feels like we all talk about how busy Kim is, how busy Chris is, but Kylie just has been busy since she popped out of the womb. So let me just take you here, and this is how I'm going to set the scene, because this profile came out a week ago. We know what's happening, 2023. Hope everyone's well.
2024, babe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not good, is it? That's not good.
Hope everyone's well.
Hope everyone's well in 2023.
The fact that it's been 4 years since the pandemic is like,
no, I know.
It's
I think
a hard fact to stomach.
That's what's messing with me. And I'm pretty sure that today, the day that we're recording, was the day that it was made. It was like, attention, everyone, lockdown begins.
Yeah. No, I think you may be right. We're days out from that, of the anniversary.
Yeah. So the body remembers, even if the mind does not. Okay, so Kylie, I'm going to open the scene here. 2007, Kylie is 9 years old, and this is when Keeping Up with the Kardashians premieres. And it is a hit. Everyone is obsessed. It's messy. It's weird. The quality of the camera work is shoddy at best, but everyone is obsessed with this family. Kylie and Kendall are little kids at this point. We're watching them in their elementary school, middle school years, having play dates with friends. That's sort of their role in the show in the beginning seasons. And then jump forward, 2015 is when Kylie Lip Kits launches. And everyone and their mother wants one. They're like, oh my God, if I don't have a mauve lip on right now, I'm going to freak out. And so
a mauve matte
yes.
lip. But it was
like
honestly
the desert.
A genius idea, because I don't think anyone outside of the MAC makeup counter girls had ever really thought to pair a lip liner and a matching lipstick. Packaging them all together is so smart.
It's so perfect, because there was this huge conversation happening about what's going on with Kylie's lips. Kylie's lips have doubled in size. What's going on? And then she releases the lip kits and are like, this is what's going on. I am just overlining my lips and that's what I do. And you can look like me too if you buy the Kylie lip kit.
Yeah. This era of plastic surgery was so interesting, because non-invasive or just like injectables in general were so hush-hush. They felt very new to the market. There was no like Restylane Kiss at this point in time. It was like Juvederm or nothing. People still thought you were like pumping collagen or plastic into your lips. I remember vehemently denying when a friend told me that Lana Del Rey's lips were lopsided. I was like, no, they're not.
No.
Like, she was one of the first white women to, speaking of Lana, one of the first white women to come out and be like, well, obviously I've had my lips done. Like, what else do you think this is? Like, I'm white. It's so wild to think how far we've come in, what, 10 years? Where not only are injectables treated, well, especially in this city, but like a haircut, but so readily available, cheap. Like, we used to think it was like $10,000 for one syringe, and that has proved completely untrue. So like the journey that we've been on with Kylie too, and the way that she ushered in a kind of
laissez-faire approach to plastic surgery is really something to talk about, and obviously comes up in this profile, but it's just so crazy for you to hear you say the words like 2015.
We've been obsessed with her lips for almost a decade. That was almost 10 years ago that the lip kits launched and the first conversations began. And she was all over Tumblr. It was this the King Kylie era where it's like pastel, blue hair, almost like emo-esque style. And everyone was obsessed with her and thought she was just like avant-garde.
No, it was indie sleaze. It was the era of ripped jean shorts with a studded applique and then a flannel tied around the waist. Like, who were you if you didn't have a studded applique?
I know. I wanted one so bad. I did. I had plenty of ripped shorts, and I wore combat boots like it was my job. I wore in high school.
Jeffrey Campbell leaders.
Those will haunt me in my dreams.
And I hate to say it. I've been saying this now for, I want to say, 9 months. Low-rise skinny jeans have been on their way for a long time. Have I said this on the podcast? I hope I have, because I've said it every other area of my life. And now let me show you.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to stand up and you were wearing some. And I was like, you're seated in a low-rise skinny jean right now.
You are sick.
Let me show you.
On the Miu Miu runway.
Of course. Oh my God. That's crazy. I'm back at Urban Outfitters perusing the vinyls, looking at that.
I've been saying, I called it with boleros. I called it with waistcoats. And I called it with the low-rise skinny jeans. And sometimes you hate to be right. This
will
one's going to
be...
You know what? I will.
Incredible.
You know what? I think I probably will in some capacity, but I'm not quite sure what that looks like yet. So like, bear with me. Also, high waist right now is running neck and neck with low rise. It used to be, for the past 2 years, it has truly been low rise, mid rise, or nothing. But high waist is back with such a vengeance. See Bella Hadid in her Western era with button down, open over some sort of tank top, always tucked into a high-waisted belted jean. It's about to when we once saw people and thought, oh, millennial in your high-waisted jeans. No. We're going to watch low-rise baggy jeans go all the way out, and it's going to be very tapered silhouettes. Yeah, I'm putting this in audio ink.
Yeah. Okay, so we were just in 2015, and now we're jumping ahead to 2019 when Kylie launches Kylie Skin. Then 2020, the Jenner sisters both have to address some worrying reports about their fashion brand, Kendall plus Kylie, which they launched in 2012. And it was reported that they weren't paying their workers in Bangladesh because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and they basically had to explain, like, why aren't all these workers being paid, or why have you fired people in your LA factory? And they sort of were like, oh, sorry, that's inaccurate. The company that you're talking about, Global Brands Group, our brand is not involved with them. So 2021 launches Kylie Swim, one of the very few Kylie, I don't want to say failures, but it didn't blow up. And then 2023 came.
No, it was a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was reviewed by a ton of people online that the quality was absolutely terrible and the price point was really high. The price point was like an Inamorata type celebrity brand, and people were like holding it up and being like, it's falling apart. And then I think because it coincided with her getting pregnant for a second time, she couldn't promote it, and the whole thing was obviously like her body and being hot, and if you want to be hot and look like Kylie, then you need to buy the swimsuit. So it was like, it was all a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Okay. Then I feel safe calling that a failure. And then comes Kai in 2023, which is the idea is sort of high fashion at a reasonable price point. And her first collection was all leather and then all suede. It's sort of like capsule, all one color kind of vibe is the look. And it welcomes in a new era for her and her personal sense of style, because the King Kylie era was very different than the way that she's dressing and presenting these days, which is really where this article opens. It is written by Jessica Testa, who covers style and fashion for the New York Times. She used to be the national reporter at BuzzFeed News covering crime and gender. And she wrote about like murders and mysterious deaths and families looking for justice, which I think really comes through randomly in this piece, because you can tell that this was written by a reporter. This is not what it could have been, which is basically just like a fawning fluff. Kylie can do no wrong. The clothes are beautiful beyond beautiful. Bury me in her pleather. It is rightfully, I think, critical and real.
No, this reads as if my dad interviewed Kylie Jenner and did like a couple days research leading up and then was like, and what about the whole appropriation of black women thing? Anything to say about that? It's like that. It's like there's going to be no flowers sent after this profile is published. It's just like, hey, yeah, I showed up and did my job about this rando. And and here we are. It would be if you or I would interview, I think, an Elon Musk type.
Yes.
Like we are not like Muskies, you know?
No.
So we'd we'd do some research and then we'd be like, hey, nice to meet you, sir. Let's go.
Let's rumble. And they did. Right. And I think rightfully so, because that is something that Kylie and sort of the whole Kardashian family has been accused of time and time again, is that they appropriate black culture and then they bring it into the sort of like, now this is cool, now this is in, and they give no credit, they don't address anything, and then they shut down any criticism. The only time that criticism, I found this so funny. Have you heard about Kylie and Kendall's rock versus rap line?
It's the first thing I thought of.
It is really?
The first thing I thought of, because I was in my first year at Paper Magazine. I want to say this was 2017. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. It was.
I covered the story closely. Yes, I did.
Oh my God.
I was all over it. This is their Tupac tease.
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. But please go on.
So basically they announced that they would be releasing a line of vintage t-shirts, and they had rock stars and rap stars. So they had Tupac, they had Metallica, they had The Doors, they had Led Zeppelin, they had like Notorious B.I.G. It was all of these t-shirts with these famous people's names on them, but then they would superimpose their faces on top. And, you know, I think something that we ask all the time as a culture is like, how do they keep getting away with this stuff? How come no one is ever coming for Kim for this or Chloe for this? This is a time where everyone came for them all at once. It was like Sharon Osbourne, the mother of Biggie Smalls, and the Doors manager. They were all
Tupac's
like,
estate.
Yeah. Yes. Like, how dare you? The Doors manager, who is like the one who manages Jim Morrison's estate, issued a cease and desist letter saying like, do not do this. This is horrible. They apologized for the shirts and pulled them from the site. And like, this is, I feel like, one of the few times that they've really been taken to task.
So they were so young, like 20 and 18 or something, like so young, but also old enough to maybe get it. Sophia Richie came over to their house in a choker and a Metallica shirt, and they were like, there's something here.
So funny.
But there's been so many instances like that with pretty much all of them.
Absolutely. And now what's interesting is I think Kylie is stepping into a new era. She's dating Timothy Chalamet. She's a mother. And here's really where our profile opens. Are we ready to dive in?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It begins. Well, first, the headline is, are you buying what Kylie Jenner is selling? The youngest Kardashian Jenner sister has a new look and a slew of new products to go along with it. So, Kylie Jenner is 26 years old. She is a mother of two small children. She no longer wears wigs or bold makeup every day. She no longer wakes up and immediately posts on social media. Maturity and sophistication are the words guiding her branding now. She is, quote, stripping down a little bit, as Miss Jenner said at her Calabasas, California office last week, her knees pulled up to her chest for the duration of an hour-long interview. I don't have this thick mane down to my butt. I don't have lash extensions. I don't have these long claws. She held up nails like glossy red almonds. To her, those traits were markers of her youth. To others, they signaled cultural appropriation of black women. Straight from the get-go. This is not going to be like a Kylie's the queen of my heart.
No, that line actually shocked me.
Yeah.
It shocked me. That absolutely ethnic markers. Every different type of body part enhanced. Every sartorial choice, every aesthetic decision has all linked back to black women. And this could have probably gone under the radar had they not all been dating black men as well. It was just like too close to home.
Yeah. And no ever, never, never addressing any of it. just never being like, what? This is what I look like. What do you
now
mean?
I have like an enormous Brazilian ass. I don't think we can overlook the fact that now she, and it obviously hasn't been overlooked online, certainly, but the fact that she's now with a white man and is so pared down out of nowhere.
I know. And I feel like that's also a trend among the sisters. Like if you look at Kourtney Kardashian's style evolution, depending on the men that she's dating, it's sort of crazy. I mean, the Travis Barker, she's fully in, nails painted black.
Yeah, leather pants.
Leather pants. And that was not always the way.
And I forgot that I caught an old episode the other day of Kourtney and Khloé Take Miami. Yeah. And she was really deep in it with Scott. And her style was so Long Island prep.
Yes.
Like it was so Scott coded in every
Vineyard
single way.
Vines.
Yeah, five-piece a cappella men's choir. Like it was really that. And now it's exactly. It is like Rage Against the Machine. Like, it's not a phase, mom. So,
yeah.
I mean, but like you look at Kim, it's kind of been the same. Like with Pete, she lost a whole bunch of weight overnight and reemerged this very like tiny little blonde woman. I mean, the only one who's kind of stayed true to her roots is really Khloé. Like Khloé is being consistent.
Yeah, that's true. That's really true. Loves denim. I mean, good American.
Always loves a latex bodysuit. Loves like long, long extensions and the craziest nails of anyone in the celebrity sphere.
I don't understand how she is doing that with motherhood. Like watching her wipe her like brand new baby's face with her talons. I'm like,
that long, like Cardi B length, it's almost like a signifier of wealth and distance because you're not doing those like day-to-day activities. It's like the whole concept of like in Asian culture, lighter skin denotes that you're not out in the fields laboring. And so you're obviously wealthy enough to stay inside. And that is the Kar Jenner type of effect with the nails where it's like, you're clearly not in the weeds. To your point, talons like that.
Yeah, it's so real. And I thought that this line was so interesting. I would love your take. Jessica writes, since she was a child, Miss Jenner's public persona has been defined by consumption. She consumes the trappings of celebrity and wealth. Clothes and cars, private jets and cosmetic procedures. Then we consume her, the media she shares, the celebrity gossip she generates, and critically to the family business, the products she sells.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
I know. It really cuts into the beast.
It perfectly distills the beast. And one, and her way of saying like one begets the other. Kylie cannot consume clothes, cars, private jets, and cosmetic procedures without us consuming her. She's put herself up for sale to buy everything she wants. These girls could disappear. Specifically Kylie and Kendall, who really didn't choose this. Like, and it's so obvious to all of us that they didn't choose it. They could disappear. They could shimmy into the darkness off the dividends from keeping up with the Kardashians alone, but they've chosen to remain in the spotlight. They've chosen perpetual relevance, and that speaks volumes.
I agree completely, and I just think that a big part of the reason people buy the products are because the lifestyle is so aspirational. There's this idea that if I drink 818 tequila and I use Kylie skin, I'm closer to these people by association. I'm nearer to wealth and fame and fortune than I was before I had this product or before I tried this.
Yeah.
It's why we like are obsessed with what famous people have in their purses or what famous people drive or what famous people, where they eat. It's just like, it makes us feel closer to them to understand what their lives look like.
Well, all of it is parasocial. I mean, no one's thinking that like Kendall is creating the world's best tequila. But yeah, it's like buying into pop culture. Like not only does it make you feel closer to them, but it makes you feel more current. I'm going to listen to Ariana Grande's album, even though I don't like her, just because I want to have something to talk about. You just like want to have an opinion, and to have an opinion, you have to buy into it. And they're banking on that.
I know. And it's made them a lot of money.
I was pitched this vodka soda.
Really?
But I'll wait till you go. Yeah.
Oh my God. I was just going to say that Kylie Cosmetics is valued at $1.2 billion, or was in 2019. And she's just released her first fragrance. I'm sure people will buy it. Sprinter is the name of the canned vodka soda.
Yeah, I just got pitched this. They offered me a quote. They offered me a quote from Kylie. And I said, I'm okay. Thank you so much. But I did like that she didn't go all like quiet luxury with the can.
Yeah, it's fun.
I think it was the right choice. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
I agree. I don't think quiet luxury plays in a fridge section of a grocery store.
Just nude, just neutrals.
Yeah. Nude with white lettering.
Yeah. Flesh tones. Honestly, yeah. Though, I do like the Cosmic perfume bottle. I like that there's no branding. Like, I just got pitched a David Beckham cologne. And I was like, I don't really want a cologne with the words like David Beckham on it. Like, I just, yeah. It cheapens it. Like, this blank little bottle is really pleasing. And it also sounds like it smells nice.
It's so pretty. Yeah, I like the notes. I like the notes. Are you a vanilla perfume person?
I like a vanilla. I love a jasmine. That's my favorite. Yeah.
Me too. That's my favorite smell.
It's the best smell on the planet. There's nothing like it.
I know. That's in part why I'm excited. When all the jasmine bushes bloom in the spring in LA, I'm like face in the bushes at all times.
Oh, yeah. I used to just wear essential oil. Like, I just wore jasmine essential oil. And that was the most compliments I've ever got on my smell. Like, I wore it from like 18 to 20 and I kind of burnt myself out on it, as you tend to do. Mm-hmm. But it was the most people ever said, like, oh my God, you smell amazing. And it was just like an $8 roll-on essential oil jasmine. It's so good.
I have one of those and I just need to start wearing it. Because I have friends that do that. Jasmine specifically, just like a bottle of jasmine essential oil and like putting it raw on the skin. Just nothing smells better.
Yeah, but you, because it's so strong, like it's not diluted at all, you can get over it really fast.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So you've just got to be careful. Yeah, exactly. You've got to kind of microdose it. It's a tough one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But I do love them listing. I do love Jessica listing their businesses here.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. We've got Kendall's Tequila. We've got Courtney's Gummy Supplements, Lemmy. We've got... Chloe's Good American, size inclusive denim, Kim's Shapewear, of course. I feel like Skims is, I mean, truly beloved. I'm looking into it for my wedding. I don't know what the plan is, but I hope they have something for me.
Yeah, she describes it, Jessica describes it as the crown jewel of all the family businesses, and she's right. I mean, there's nothing that's been more successful as Skims. And the NBA partnership, I remember seeing that and Chris being like, that is so much money that they have their name on the courts. Forget that they're the official underwear sponsor or anything else. They have the name on the courts. Nike doesn't have that.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my God. Hats off to you, Kim. They know what they're doing. But the thing is that even though they know what they're doing in business, they still take hits. Kylie in 2020 at one point was talking to a beauty YouTuber about being criticized and how when she shows her true personality and then she's criticized, it hurts far more than when she shows, quote, a character that she is playing and she doesn't show people everything. And she kind of has developed, Jessica describes her as watchful, reserved, and soft-spoken, which I would say is accurate.
Here, Jessica references like Kylie Swim, which went down very quickly and was the first of her failed businesses. I don't know how well Kai is doing, much like no one has heard a peep out of Skin by Kim. I have no idea where that business is at right now.
No, she does do an interesting thing with Kai where she tries to kind of explain like what's going on with that right now, where she quotes people that are sort of the top shopping writers of the day that are often on Substack and sharing recommendations. One of them had never heard of the brand, Laurel Panton, who's like a fashion editor, like longtime amazing writer, said that the quality would need to truly be exceptional and the pieces should be ideally made responsibly. And it just seems like there's not buzz happening, a ton of buzz of like, oh my God, it's stunning, it's beautiful. So I'm curious to see how it lasts or what happens with it. But that said, the collections have sold out in minutes because they're small, they're limited, and Kylie is seen wearing all of them. And so I think people are just going to buy them no matter what.
Wait, have they sold out?
Yeah.
Maybe they just
have.
maybe they just have a really low inventory and they're just like trying to like cultivate the the drama around it. Because I feel like it's I've heard it panned just across the board. Like no one's been like, oh my god, she killed it with Kai. The way that people were immediately like that was Kim and Skims.
Yeah, yeah. I also haven't heard anything. Yeah, I think that it is low inventory and sort of painting a picture of exclusivity of like there's only, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of this kind of dress or whatever it might be. But the price point is semi-reasonable enough that people can buy them and feel closer. Like it's sort of it's designer adjacent, I think, is what she's going for. But I don't know if the quality really is up to par there.
It never makes me feel good that Kylie Cosmetics is always hiring. It says something.
There's a really prominent beauty writer who worked for the Kardashian apps when they were launching and was basically like, it was an absolute mess. I made no money and it was hell on earth every day.
I know. I'm so glad she came out and said that. I've heard similar things about Skims. I don't want to shoot myself in the foot here because I was recruited by Skims and who knows where my relationship with Skims might go. But they were offering like quite little money comparatively to the amount of work that was required. And then when I asked about benefits and stuff, or they volunteered information about benefits, they were just like, we have like great maternity packages. And I was kind of like, well, you're looking at like a 28-year-old woman who's like not looking to have a baby anytime soon. Like I'm not quite
sure. But not healthcare, just maternity leave?
No, healthcare, I'm sure. But I think they were...
That was the selling point.
Yeah, they were offsetting it against like the requirements of the job, which seemed to be like pretty extreme. Mm-hmm. And they had something like 4 drops a week. It was so crazy. It was really, really insane turnaround. Yeah, so you're never, ever not writing, which is fine, like which is like definitely a lifestyle, you know. And I was looking for contract work and stuff. So it was just like it was a misalignment. But yeah, they... Yeah, I just like I have then gone on to hear things about the brands that are just like not that favorable from an employee standpoint anyway. It might have changed. It may have changed.
Yeah, because it does seem like unlike a lot of businesses, they are celebrity run businesses, particularly. They are very involved. The Kardashians want sort of final say on everything. Kylie talks about here testing her perfume personally, wearing it out to parties and gathering compliments and giving it to friends and then figuring out what formulation is right, doing a bunch of taste tests for the vodka soda before she settled on the final flavors. Like they're involved, they're trying it, they're speaking on it, and they have their hands in it in a way more direct way. It's not like a lot of other brands where someone will come up with a product and a celebrity will just slap their name on it. And
for sure.
That feels unique.
It feels unique, but it feels like there's no other way that they could approach this. Because technically now they're not singers, actors, whoever, like entertainers. So there's no reason technically. I mean, this is like a well-worn out critique that there's no reason for them to be this famous. So they're this famous for being beautiful businesswomen. And for them, they can't just slap their name on a product because they don't do like anything else. So if someone was to come along, you know what I mean? Like you can't be like, well, I'm Beyonce and I'm on tour, but I actually really do like Evian. So let me just like hold a bottle of Evian. They have to be so involved because what else are they doing? And otherwise, why would we buy in if they haven't themselves bought in?
That's such a brilliant point. And I do think that their beauty is the X factor, the sales force behind it. And it must be very hard because like you said, the Kylie Swim marketing, the Skims marketing, it all has to do with them and their bodies. The skincare lines, them and their skin and their faces. Kylie Lip Kits, it's her and her lips. And it obviously opens them up to a lot of scrutiny. And I mean, it just must be wild. I know that recently when Kylie stepped out in Fashion Week sort of get up, unfortunately, no one was talking about what she was wearing. Everyone was talking about her face in natural light and the tear ducts and what happened and fillers migrating and whatever it is. It's like anytime she's shot in a slightly different light than her campaign photos, which are official, retouched and beyond glowing no matter what, everyone is like, oh my God, what's going on? And she's quoted here as saying, it's just years and years of not feeling like my face or looks are accepted. There's nothing anyone could ever say now that would hurt me.
Which is crazy because she's such a beautiful girl in every way.
Yes.
I mean, she is a supermodel. It's tough because she was the first one to admit to work. It became like a catch-all for every beautiful part about her. And obviously she did get her boobs done and, you know, like a BBL and all these other things. And like, you talk to any man on the planet, they're going to be like, I prefer Kendall because she's had less work. I don't think that's true whatsoever. I think Kendall has had a lot just on a more subtle level than Kylie did. But because like, it's her natural beauty, or just like the way that she is beautiful, is overshadowed by the fact that now, because she admitted to something, everything is not real. And that I like take issue with. And the fact that like, why do we even value natural beauty so much as a society anyway? Like, and at what point does natural beauty stop, right? Like, you get your nails done, you dye your hair, you get eyelash extensions, you get your eyebrows waxed, you get facials, whatever. Not to mention Botox, fillers, whatever. Like, there's no degree to which we are all natural, and we actually can't exist in society and be rewarded by it with natural faces in this current climate. Like, we actually can't. So it's kind of like, A, where do we get off calling this woman plastic or like not hot? And also, why is natural beauty like the pinnacle of success? Like, there's this implication that everyone could be beautiful if they had enough money, but even that, I don't even necessarily know that it's true. Like, a lot of people get a lot of work done and don't look so beautiful, you know? They don't look like the standard. So yeah, I don't know. I'm really on my soapbox about this, apparently.
No, but I love it. I love it. And I feel like you have some of the most evolved views on this of anyone that I know. I think it comes through in really ugly and insidious ways, the way that we judge women that get work done. Even people who I feel like are consider themselves extremely progressive and are sort of like all for a woman's right to choose what happens with her body have like a little something, a little issue. And I understand that it's an issue in general that we are all pushed and forced to subscribe to society's beauty standards, and those standards change all the time so that we have to continue evolving as they go. But that said, I agree. I think it actually makes me rageful, the whole any discourse around like take her swimming on the first date so you can really see who you're with. I'm kind of like, that's dumb as hell, because people put on makeup because it makes them feel good about them. No one is trying to necessarily hide something or change something. It's, I think makeup done well just enhances your natural features, whether they're natural as in you were born with them or natural as in just like the ones on your face right now.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's armor in so many ways. And this concept of, I think that previous generations of women would say things like always look presentable. And we, as younger generations, were like, fourth wave feminists, we're like, why do we have to look presentable? Like, for who do we have to look presentable? But in reality, what they were trying to say is when you look good, you feel good and you act differently and good things kind of come to you because people think, oh, there goes that like confident, empowered woman. It attracts a certain type of energy. And I think that is what our grandmothers, our mothers have known for such a long time. And that's not to say that you can't feel good and look good wearing no makeup and sweats and like going out. Like, there's plenty of times that I feel like that, but there is a different type of power when you feel like you have presented yourself to the best of your ability in whatever way that may look like in this moment. And you carry yourself differently. You walk through the world differently.
And I also think that some of those things are so personal to ourselves, where like, I remember you talking about like, oh, I feel best, you know, like I feel really good if I have like my hair slicked back and it's whatever it is, like this feels like me and something that makes me feel like good and put together or whatever. And those little bits can change. But I think that a lot of what getting older is becoming more acquainted with those things of like, oh, I feel really good when I wear this. I feel really good when I do this. And I just don't think that we should be forced to apologize for it. I'm sorry. I don't. I like, why? What? We're just wasting our time.
I do have a secret.
Say
not it. So much a secret, but a it's a secret. It's hidden. You don't know this. So I need to prepare you before you descend upon Los Angeles and find out in person. In my post-abortion haze, which in hindsight was definitely like a degree of postpartum. In fact, I was like told it was a degree of postpartum and went on antidepressants and the whole nine. But what drove me to that point of like, okay, I may need medical intervention here, was that it was maybe a week after, and I went out with a friend and had my hair in like a high slicked bun. And I've had my hair in a high slicked bun many, many times and never had a problem. But this particular day, I was alone. Chris was like on a trip, and I looked in the mirror and I was like, something's not right. And I decided that I hated my baby hairs that like wouldn't go up into the bun. So I took Penelope's cat razor that we used to get out her knots, and I shaved the back of my neck. The problem was I went so deep into my hair that when I took out the bun and like had a shower, clumps of my hair came out. And because I was so like dissociated and numb, I was like, oh, lol. But now it has been, you know, 3 months. My hair has grown back to the point that I have an undercut mullet type of situation going on. Wait, let me show you. So I never have my hair in a bun anymore because I have to wear it out because it's growing. But you can see.
Oh my gosh. Crazy. Look at those little guys.
Look at that side.
Oh my God.
That's how much hair I shaved off. Can you believe that?
No, I can't. Oh my God.
Crazy.
I also always have crazy baby hairs because I feel like the thing that happens when I get stressed or something happens or like I have a hormonal change is all of my hair falls out in like huge clumps. I'm like in the shower screaming.
What?
And oh my God, dude, do you know how much hair I lose? I like if I were to like pull up here, I have that's like the number one thing. A stressful event occurs and then 3 months later, all of my hair falls out. And it's like it's healing. It's growing back. It's okay. But oh my God, it is so violent what the shower looks like when I am 3 months out from a stressful life event. It is,
whoa,
like both hands full of hair.
Oh my God. Because that's the whole thing with pregnant women, right? Or women postpartum is like all their hair comes out.
Yeah, it's like any trauma on the body, and birth is very much a trauma. I mean, trauma is trauma. Psychological trauma is trauma. And it often has a delay period, which I think is the cruelest thing ever. It's like you've just gotten over it and you're starting to feel better. And then all of a sudden you're like hair is shedding and falling. Yeah.
And that's only happened to me while I was living in Italy as a teen. And I was so stressed and sad that I've like had so much hair coming out at all. I mean, that was truly the worst. But I think eating disorders, it's really common because your body is under so much stress of starvation. It's interesting how the hair has a way of always communicating with you. It's like, I'm going to make it clear that what's not everything on here is okay.
Yeah. That's so, so real.
But anyway, you won't see this for a while because my hair will be out, which has actually been the bane of my existence because I love a bun. But yeah. So unfortunate. Wow.
Well, you look beautiful with your hair down too, thankfully, luckily. No, you've got a great head of hair, and it grows. It always grows back. So if anyone's losing hair right now, know that it's coming back. It's going to come back in funny little ways, but it always comes back.
Massage in that rosemary oil. It's on its way.
I've been doing it too. Have you?
No, that's one that I always forget about, to be fair.
Yeah. I think it works. I think it does work. And back to Kylie. Showers, clean girl. Here we are. People are speculating now that she's with Timothy Chalamet, her aesthetic has shifted into a more clean girl style. People were kind of shocked when she posted photos of herself wearing a cottagecore maxi dress on vacation. And they're kind of like, oh my God. So Jessica asks, you know, have you seen any of these comments? Not really, she said. She really only reads feedback on posts related to her businesses. And then Kylie says, I don't know how I feel about that. Touching the tip of the notes resting on her knees. The questions were inching uncomfortably towards Mr. Chalamet. I just don't want to talk about personal things. And that's that. An end there.
Do you think that is because, like, she doesn't want to speak too soon in case it ends? Or do you think it's just, because I think that when you're really comfortable in a relationship with someone, new or not, you say, I know I'm having a really great time right now and I'm enjoying this new era of my life. Like, I truly think, like, even if you are private, like celebrities will admit to that if they're happy.
I feel like there must, this is my theory, my harebrained theory, is that there's just an agreement that their relationship will remain between them mostly. And like, you know, whatever, if they show up to a red carpet together and are paparazzi, that's not like giving anything away, or they're at a concert and cuddling. But like, I don't think he's going to say anything in the press about her. And I don't think she's going to say anything in the press about him. Can you imagine a Timothée Chalamet profile where he is like, Kylie has shown me what motherhood is?
I can absolutely imagine that.
You can?
No, I think he would. From reading the profiles that we have about him, I can. I mean, him getting so deep into BLM and like the nuances of it, and like, am I good? I think that's when we last talked about Kensian ethics, like, am I good for doing something good and feeling good about it? He would definitely be like, now as a stepdad who stepped up, or whatever his shirt read, I feel like I have a new lease on life. I wouldn't be surprised.
But it is interesting because it does feel like her whole thing is sort of stripped back, no makeup. This is just who I am. Which is a really different aesthetic than all of her sisters.
Yeah, I'm over the clean girl thing. Like, I love a lipstick. Like, is that sue me?
It's the Glossier thing. It's like the Hailey Bieber thing, where it's just you need to be perfectly tanned and beautiful and have like 3 freckles on your nose and flawless skin and no pores for it to really pop on your face. The clean girl aesthetic.
Yes,
and then it's just not
a
very
good
fun.
Amount of face tune.
Yes, exactly. That's the other thing. But it's clear that she is kind of not trying to get personal in any regard. Stormy runs into the room and Stormy is sort of surprised. Jessica knows her name. She explains like, hey, by the way, everything that Stormy just said is off the record, basically. She says, we can't do that to her when it comes to like quoting her daughter. She's innocent. She comes in here and she doesn't know that we're doing an interview and she has these quotes out in the open and she's 6 years old. It's my responsibility to protect her.
Okay, so this felt to me starkly at odds with her previous quote, which is what you're referring to when Jessica says, hey, Stormy, and Stormy's like, how do you know my name? And then Kylie says, everyone knows your name. You're a superstar. That's like a curious approach to fame. Instead of protecting her from fame and being like, you live a normal childhood, to be like, everyone knows your name. That was the complete antithesis of the following quote where she's like, we can't do that to her. She's innocent.
I know. They are at odds with each other. They are at odds. I don't know how they navigate this. It'll be so interesting to read the tell-all memoirs from the Kardashian second generation.
What also felt at odds was the fact that like Kylie stayed hidden throughout her entire pregnancy with Stormy and then released a video documentary on YouTube about her pregnancy, which is like, okay, I get like you want to have those memories for you, but then why did you need to share them publicly? So
I know
they're always working against each other. Like she's always like she's obsessed with fame and she loves it. Or she is being like, I wish people would stop talking about my face. Like there's no middle ground, it seems.
No. And it seems like there's a changing of the tides too. Jessica talks about a recent sort of data set that was published that shows that Kylie has cut down on posting her children by 47% from 2022 to 2023. Even though those are her most like posts, the famous photo of Stormy holding her beautifully manicured finger got like more likes than any post on Instagram ever. She does share photos and Stormy's come to her to Fashion Week events, but it seems like there is a changing of tides where she is no longer trying to constantly have Stormy's face on her Instagram, have babies be the focal point. And I mean, I think we're just getting the beginning of this. There was just a story in Cosmo about the grown-up children of influencers and what it's like to have your life commodified from day one to when you're 18. So I think that we'll find that there are it's not so great, and definitely the kids have no agency in this. So sort of good on her for being like, okay. And I think a part of it has to do with her understanding more and more how young she was when she first rose to prominence. She talks about seeing like her nephew turned 9 and realizing that she was 9 when the show started. It's just, she was like, it's clear that that's young. And
yeah, it felt like almost a dig at Chris here, to be honest, like from my point of view. She said, since I was 9, people have been in my business. And now she wants Stormy's exposure, or both her children's exposure, to be under her control. First of all, I think this is great reporting. And I don't know if Jessica came into it with this question, with this Kardashian Data Coalition foundings about her cutting down on her posting of her children, or it came in the aftermath after having this conversation. But either way, to pair this with cold, hard data of like she has cut down posting her children by 47% despite the engagement the children's photos gets, that's like, it's very good reporting. Like this
it's
is like
interesting,
but it's always rooted in fact and not opinion, which is like obviously what the New York Times is famous for. But when it comes to a profile, like you get more room to move. You can be more free with it. And she's instead, to your earlier point about her being a murder on the murder beat, she's like sticking to the facts.
I know. And because of that, this is new information for us. I think that we as pop culture consumers aren't necessarily going to the databases to understand, but then it paints a picture and it explains something. And I love it. You know, I love good reporting, and it's here. And she also does the thing where she interviews a psychotherapist who applies media theories to like Kardashian family affairs. And that's an interesting perspective. And I thought it was really fascinating what, I can't tell if it's a man or a woman.
Yeah.
MJ. Oh, impossible to know.
Pseudonymous. Oh, didn't want to be on record. That is so interesting. Yeah. She does Kardashian colloquium. I didn't know that she was a psychotherapist. Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
This is a famous Instagram account that basically, applies media theory to everything Kardashian. But I'm really happy that Jessica did this. She is obviously, I mean, this story is promotional. She's trying to sell her new vodka seltzers. But the fact that Jessica took the time to be like, she's had a lifetime's worth of scandal and then lists it, I thought was very powerful and completely necessary. She talks about the backlash of the fact that Kylie was named a billionaire and then unnamed, basically because I'm trying to remember the details, but I think Chris, like,
I know.
Oh, tell me.
So the Forbes cover named her the youngest like billionaire.
Self-made billionaire.
So self-made was the first controversy because they were like, she was born into wealth and privilege. I don't think self-made is appropriate here. And then two, it was later people questioned her and sort of accused her of fabricating some tax documents and that the Kylie Cosmetics was over-evaluated. And when people talk about billionaires, it's confusing, I think, because those people are not people with $1 billion in the bank necessarily. It has to do with their assets and the evaluation of their businesses. And those things make someone a billionaire. And so they were just basically saying like, I think that we actually overshot it a little bit. And she was like, how dare you? I thought Forbes was reputable. There was a whole controversy, but they basically unnamed her. And they were kind of like, it's not quite accurate, actually, we just realized, which is hilarious because she was on the cover of Forbes.
Yeah, it's not adding up, which is, I mean, it's crazy to rescind that. But her being like, I don't think about like how much money I have or don't have. It's like, girl, you're thinking about whether you've hit the billionaire threshold or not for sure. But Jessica doesn't stop there. She brings up the Houston Astroworld tragedy, which none of them have addressed to this day. And they have even, I think, lied about where they were at the time, like on the show. They've like switched dates around and like sent Kendall to Miami to get IV drips with Hailey Bieber instead of the real truth, which was like them attending Astroworld. Then there's all the allegations of blackfishing, copying other brands. And then, of course, being linked to an older man as an underage girl, CC Tiger, and then polluting the planet with her plane, CC Taylor Swift, and promoting unrealistic beauty standards while also being the product of unrealistic beauty standards. And then, of course, going on the show to talk about how they may be promoting unrealistic beauty standards only for all her sisters to be like, yeah, yep, and keep it moving. So There's been a lot that's gone on. There has been a lot. And we love to eat it up.
I know. It's fascinating. It's fascinating to us. And I just think because they're in my age group, it was so interesting. And the psychotherapist behind Kardashian
Colloquium.
There it is.
Yeah.
The psychotherapist behind Kardashian Colloquium brings up a really interesting point that I think for me felt so relevant and was totally my experience of the show, where you don't see them grow up. You just see them as children, and then you see them grown and modeling for 17 magazine. And I remember being like, oh, damn it. This is not how it went for me. I'm still in my little awkward stage. They were just so young, and now they're cool and starting a brand with PacSun. And I do think that it's complicated. It's sort of a double-edged sword, because when this happens, there's society judges her as a woman instead of a girl, even though she was super young and Kendall was, they were both really young as they're sort of venturing out for the first time. And she also kind of didn't want to. There is this scary Black Mirror moment in a 2016 episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Kylie tells her sisters, like, some people are born for this life and some people aren't. And I just know I'm not supposed to be famous.
Yeah.
She does have some grace here for her mom, because she was just like, damn, I can't believe that this all happened when I was 9. But she says, to be fair, my family didn't know how successful the show would be. I think if they could have foresaw that, they would probably think twice about it, having me be on the show so young. And then Jessica, ever the brilliant reporter, calls Kris Jenner to verify and get her thoughts. Kris Jenner says, pointedly, I have no regrets. I believe that everything happens for a reason. Kris has spent the last 6 years admiring her daughter's approach to motherhood, telling her, I wish I would have been as present as you.
Yeah. I was going to say that Kris was really young when she had her children, but she was the same age as Kylie.
Yeah.
But I think like Kris was very much locked down and anchored by motherhood, because Robert Kardashian was 2 decades her senior and trying to make sure this like beautiful young 19, 20 year old was like in the home and going to stay married to him. And of course, Kris famously had her affair. It's interesting that she would admire that about Kylie. And yeah, she's asking questions I actually want to know the answers to. Like, it's not just like, actually tell us about where you were in Astroworld. It's like, okay, I care about that, but I also don't. She brings up the theory that celebrities basically freeze at the time they get famous, at the age they get famous. And I feel like we've heard this in a profile before. I want to say it was John Mayer. This has definitely come up. It's also very much in the zeitgeist that we're like, yeah, like Ariana Grande hasn't grown up since she was 14, 15, because like that's when she got famous. Oftentimes that's when these stars feel like they are the most beloved and accepted. So they want to stay in that little time capsule. It's the reason why Britney Spears will never wear a jean that goes up to the belly button. Kylie says, me and my sister Kendall talk about that a lot. And basically, as the youngest child, she admits that she still feels like a baby despite having babies now of her own, which kind of broke my heart a little bit, especially in relation to the lack of puberty.
They never got to be just kids.
Kids. I mean, she was on a stripper pole at 9, you know, on the show. She was always trying to be as grown up as the older sisters. And because of that, I don't really think got to like relish childhood in that way. It is now probably like in the way that happens for many young mothers, like reliving childhood through her babies, like having to like heal her inner child through having children, which it's like, I have a lot of empathy for her. I think of all the girls, she's one that I truly like the most and respect. I mean, I respect them all, but I feel like she comes across as the warmest, which really,
yeah, like, I agree. Yeah. We never really get to see her on the show, especially the new Hulu reboot. When we see her, it's sort of a bit. It's like, oh, we're going to In-N-Out with Kylie and Kendall, and that's the whole thing. That's all we get. It's like them being cute sisters in a car together, and outside of that, it doesn't feel in the same way that I think Khloé has laid her whole life out on the show and laid it all out bare. Kylie is trying to rewrite history in that way, and her kids will run through a scene, but they're by no means plot points. We're not following them on in hard moments in their little kid lives. She has taken great pains, it feels like, to not just do the same thing that happened to her unto her kids.
You're right. Sorry, I got distracted by a detail that I think I skimmed over in my initial reading of this profile, and it just it caught my eye. And I basically, they're talking about the fact that there's no limit to what Kylie can accomplish empire-wise. And she says, my personal thought on working in Korea is that it really does keep you young. She then brings up Iris Apfel, the 102-year-old fashion personality, you know, the woman who wears the big glasses,
yeah, of course,
with the little spiky gray hair, who, as she understood it, believed the secret to longevity was to never stop working. And then I missed this little thing in parentheses that says, Ms. Apfel died one day after our conversation.
It's too much.
I mean,
I know.
I don't want to say serendipity, but like the synergy there.
Yeah.
And then for Kris Jenner's following quote to say there's no limit on what we can do. Sometimes writing, it's just like a corn on the cob that you just gotta keep nibbling on. It's just so incredibly perfect. You can't look at this and say that this is not art.
Yes,
like what
I agree.
She's doing.
I agree. I agree completely. And then to end on this note is so interesting because there is an ominous, looming feeling as we go deeper. It feels like no one is telling quite the same story or are aware of the story that they're a part of. Like Kris's quotes come off as a little bit unhinged.
Yes. And overly ambitious. Like just too ambitious for the context. Yeah.
Yeah, it's silly. So this is where it ends. 8 years ago, Kylie Jenner told Interview Magazine that by 30, she wanted to live off the grid on a farm in Malibu raising chickens. She has since acquired chickens and a garden maintained by some, quote, nice ladies that supplies her kitchen with the, quote, blessing of fruit and vegetables, including the kumquat sliced into my sparkling water. In the spirit of her mother, Ms. Jenner has since changed her mind. I have a lot more years in me, she said.
This to me is so the Jacob Elordi effect of your words immortalized in print, like not wanting to speak anything out loud because you change your mind day to day. But just the way that she is such a walking contradiction, rejecting her fame but embracing it, it's just so beautifully captured here with regards to the Stormy moment, bringing up this old interview where she says she does want to go off the grid, which we literally talked about earlier in this profile of just like Jessica just captures her in a way that I don't think she ever has. I mean, there's a reason, Ivana, we haven't done Kylie Jenner until now. And there's because there was nothing meaty enough for us to sink our teeth into. Like there was no point. We would just get on here, wax lyrical about the Kardashians for 45 minutes and then come out with a very mediocre subpar episode about someone who really never said much of anything. And this is juicy.
Because I don't think we were ever interested in the take of like the youngest of the Kardashian clan tells us her favorite lipstick, her favorite vacation spot, and, you know, the things that she's keeping in her purse today. It's just like those things are, it's just, it doesn't make for anything interesting. We don't learn anything. I feel like I've learned something. I think it's so interesting that she's cut down on posting her kids. I think that it actually explains some of the decisions on the new Kardashian show and the sort of inexplicable, like, why do we only see Kylie when she's going on a quest of some kind with one member of the family? And then she disappears entirely and like is involved in nothing else on the show.
Quest is an incredible word.
They're quests. It's like, okay, we're going to a grocery store with Kris and Kylie. We're going to In-N-Out
with Kylie
to drive
and Kendall. With Kendall.
Yeah. They're little quests that she goes on, and that's the extent. That's all she's going to give us. And I'm so curious because the Timothée Chalamet relationship has brought her back into the cultural zeitgeist in a big way. And people are confused. People are questioning who she is and how this works and what they talk about and what's going on.
Where do you think that comes from? Like, why do you think people are so fascinated with the relationship in the sense of the two of them being incompatible?
I think that it scratches an itch. The same itch that is scratched by movies where the hot popular guy gets with like the shy nerdy girl. Not that that's really what's happening here, but there's something about that where it's unexpected and therefore surprising and we want to get to the bottom of it, but we never can is the thing. In the same way that we can assume things about Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian's brief little thing, but it's just a striking mismatch in the way that we're like, what? What's going on here? How? Where? What do they do? I really don't know what Kylie Jenner is like alone in a room being herself. I don't know.
I think that's a big reason why she had children, because otherwise, like, why are you getting pregnant at 21, especially like at this level when you have so much to accomplish? I mean, obviously she has all the resources in the world and a great support network, but even so, why? And I think a big part of that is trying to discover who she is through having children, trying to find something like grounding and rooting that is hers and hers alone, not hers and Kendall's, not hers and Chris, like something that she can hold on to that's just hers and build her own little ecosystem off that, rather than existing in the like chaotic and sometimes toxic ecosystem that is Hollywood, or even more specifically Calabasas. You know, it's like I'm tethered now. I'm tethered. And I mean, yes, that must have been really compelling.
Oh, yeah. And I think that something that I hear over and over and over again from every member of her family is what an incredible mother she is. Everyone is like, damn, I wish I was doing it like her. Kim is like, I wish I had that much patience. I don't. Chris is like, wow, what an incredible mom she is. Like, everyone is in awe. And I wonder what she's doing that's so magical behind closed doors. It's fascinating to me. And I sort of believe it. I'm like, yeah, I bet she is a great mom, because it feels like she's really dedicated herself to this in a big way. She has all these businesses and she has all this money, but it's clear that this matters to her in a very deep way.
I'm also kind of obsessed with the paralleling maturation of all these girls who came up at exactly the same time and were all friends. If you look at Sophia Richie, once with Scott Disick, Hailey Bieber was very much like on the scene, rumored to be dating Drake at the time, Kylie Jenner with Tyga, with Travis Scott, the hottest girls who are going to pull up at The Nice Guy, and were very much all over Snapchat. And now they're all totally pared down. Sophia Richie getting married at Hotel du Cap in the south of France in full Chanel. Hailey Bieber, the Lady Diana of our generation now. And then Kylie Jenner, who is now dating this character actor type, true A-list celebrity, frolicking in fields in Doan-esque dresses. Like, it's so interesting that we have watched this evolution and all these women who very much stood side by side and for us exemplified a specific era of overlining your lips and a matte lipstick, thick winged eyeliner and chokers. You know, it's yeah. like, it's just wild to see how far we've come. And also like you and I as individuals, like I remember I looked very different in 2017 and felt very differently too. And value different things. And it's interesting to see that reflected in someone who's so famous.
It's brutal because I wouldn't have wanted my phases on television. It's so intimate to see that, to see someone shed the combat boots, to see someone dye over the blue hair, to see someone take off the zebra print club dress. But we all have sort of ended in the same place, which is funny. Caring less, for sure. And sort of leaning into some of these more traditional roles and titles. I mean, like Hailey Bieber is so proud to be a wife. And I think Kylie Jenner is so proud to be a mom. And being a mom is very much like a part of her
identity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who would have thought? Here we are. Wives and mothers.
As it was written.
I know.
As he intended.
As he intended.
All power be to him.
I truly sweet little biblical girls. In our homes.
This is our church group. We've rebranded Uncover Girl.
I know. Yeah. Christian girls. And they all are too. That
they
has
all
to play
are.
A role. They all are. Maybe it's religion. Maybe the secret sauce is religion.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Those things that are so ordinary, right? Wife and motherhood. I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about just like having something that grounds them, having something that feels normal, quote unquote, is so important. It means so much. Whereas like we rebel against them, or a lot of women I know, myself included, are kind of like, you know, marriage and motherhood, they instead are embracing it because they're like, my life is so extraordinary. It's incredible to have something ordinary. Whereas we are rebelling against the ordinary. It's like an interesting, it's like, it's a paradox that I don't think I've realized before, but in reading this, it's really highlighted it in 24K. Like I can see it in crystal clarity now.
And there are a lot of young mothers in the celebrity world. Like Reese Witherspoon had her daughter at like, I don't even know, 20 or something, 19. Like it's a different pace of life, it feels like. And the milestones are not the same, or they don't happen quite the same. Because for many people, the reason you can't have a baby at 19 is because never in a million years could you pay for one. Mm-hmm. How would that work in any way? And so it's funny what happens when you take away financial precarity and the choices people make then.
And also traditional work structure, right? Like these people are all work on a project basis. Mm-hmm. So it feels like a new project. Like I'll be pregnant for 9 months and then I will have the baby and I'll be breastfeeding for 6 months. And then like it feels like a project and a deadline. Whereas when you're working traditionally 9 to 5, I think it's easier to grasp the gravity of being like, okay, this doesn't end. Like this is going to continue on forever, not just until they go to school, not just until they reach high school or turn 18. Like this is a lifelong commitment. And I think it's like, it's easier to approach that with like a little like DeLulu wool over your eyes and be like, what a fun thing to like be pregnant and experience that, or like have a baby on my arm. More power to them. Like that is a great way to go into motherhood, because I think it's so scary that you need to have an element of delusion. I don't know. It's all Kylie Jenner teaches us a lot.
I've learned a lot.
How much do you want to interview this person?
I think I do.
So do I. Like desperately, actually.
Yeah.
I would love to do this interview.
Me too. I would welcome it with open arms. It would be so interesting.
I think even more so, I would love to have a candid off-record conversation. Like, it doesn't actually matter to me to have the big print profile with her. I just kind of want to understand the web that these people have woven. And I want to know how it all has really gone down. Like, I just want to understand it from like a curiosity, but also like a psychological standpoint. I mean, we've been so invested in this family for so long. I kind of want to know the secret sauce.
Especially Kylie's, because she's seen it in a different way. Like if Chris is the puppet master, she has a way larger, like this is the long-term plan thing. And Kylie's just now stepped into true adulthood. So she's 26.
I know.
Her brain stopped developing last year. Or not stopped, but became fully developed last year.
We've stopped developing, that's for
sure. We've stopped. Cold, hard stop.
Yeah, that's so right. And I think she has an awareness that no other sister seems to have. Like I'd argue, like, not even Kendall. Like Kendall has gone like the woo-woo way of coping. But there's just an instinctive awareness about Kylie that she sees everything from this 360 bird's eye perspective. That I feel like no one else has. Like Kim is too in the weeds still, like too ambitious. Courtney is in La La Land, totally removed. Chloe's bogged down by her trauma and trying to work her way through that. And Kendall, I don't quite think knows who she is and is trying to find it through various spiritual channels. Whereas Kylie, there's just something about her that feels different. I've heard from friends, she is incredible to be around and very loving and kind. Kind of you hear similar things about her as you do Taylor Swift, which is just like very strong woman, a very lovely person to be in the orbit of. But I'm fascinated. I will be consuming. I will be seated with a napkin tucked into my shirt, knife and fork out.
I really feel the same way. Wow, what a fun one. This feels different than a lot of what
it
we've
does.
Done.
Ironically, it feels incredibly cerebral.
Yes, yes.
Whereas everyone would argue that's so lowbrow and thoughtless.
No, the smartest people in the world watch reality TV because they know what's going on. And it's anthropology, it's sociology, it's a study of the human experience.
That is so true. And that's what we'll leave you with.
Go to Bravo, watch it all. You won't regret it. You'll learn something about yourself.
binge 50 hours of Love Island and feel no guilt.
Yeah.
We stand with you. We endorse you. And we love you.
Love you.
Bye. See you next week.
Yay. Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.